As an Apache child, Robbie Romero traveled between two very different worlds, his native New Mexico and Hollywood. Robbie's father worked behind the camera, and his mother danced in front of it in the movie industry. As a young man, Robbie found the beginnings of a career producing native rock music and what he calls music pictures. He also spent a lot of time with Dennis Hopper and was introduced to indigenous issues through the likes of Dennis Banks, Reyes Tijerina, and Cesar Chavez. Robbie Romero has spent more than three decades using the international languages of music and film to help shift the paradigm and bridge the gap between indigenous peoples, human rights, and the environment through his nonprofit, Native Children's Survival. Robbie joins the show today because this month marks the release of that new single, which you just heard, Born on the Rez, a music picture featuring production from Don Was and musical collaboration with Chris Christopherson, Jim Keltner, Robert Mirabal, and others. Robbie Romero, welcome to KD&K.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
What a great effort. That song is great.
Thank you so much.
Are you happy with it?
I love it. It's it was an honor to play with Jim and Cooch and Don and Robert and Gary Farmer and just the whole crew that we brought together, and of course Chris Christopherson. And it was a special recording. It was Dennis Banks' last recording, and last time I had the opportunity to film him singing. So it's a special recording for us.
Yeah. Is this going to show up on a new release pretty soon, this new single?
Born on the Rez is a featured track, or how they say in the industry, bonus track, on the 25th anniversary of my first EP, Red Thunder, which came out in 1993. And it was introduced on VH1. As a World Alert special, we created a rockumentary film that featured two songs, Heartbeat and Prayer Song, from the EP, and then the traditional kind of native rock music that was the soundtrack to the special. But it was about the protection of sacred sites and the Native American Freedom of Religion Act that was in Congress at the time.
You know, I was checking out your website, which, by the way, is RobbieRomero.com. And that's Robbie spelled with a Y, RobbieRomero.com. And I was looking through all the things you've done in 30 years, and I'm thinking, why haven't I heard him? Have you purposely kept your efforts in Indian country? Have you tried to penetrate radio, for example?
Yeah, I've rarely stepped outside of Indian country. Most of the records were promoted to native radio, Rez radio. But, you know, this 25th anniversary, that EP, you know, because of MTV and VH1, they were playing the music videos, and we did some PSAs. That's also one of the PSAs we did on MTV that won the Cable Ace Award as part of MTV's Free Your Mind campaign. That's also on this 25th anniversary. When we released that, we were kind of shocked because we sold so many albums, you know, just through indigenous distribution, and ended up releasing a full LP in 1995, 2 years later, and then went on all those Horde festivals and did a lot of shows with Carlos Santana and just had a great time throughout the 90s, and until MTV stopped playing music videos, we had a really good run with them. And then the next record, Hidden Medicine, we released in Indian country, and then that kind of went into AAA stations. We're playing that as well, but the rockumentary film that went along with that was aired on Sundance TV. And, you know, so we've had several rockumentary films with different releases coming out, and lately I've just been releasing singles digitally and not physically at all. So this is the first like physical record that's going to come out, and we're excited about it.
Well, you know, I always come on to things like a couple decades after they start. I'm a slow learner, you know, but I'm so happy that I discovered this. Now let's talk a little bit about Born on the Rez. You wrote that at Standing Rock, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. There was several songs I wrote at Standing Rock. I was there for quite a while. Born on the Res is the first in a series of songs and music pictures that we will release in a five-year campaign per Dennis Banks' request. In 1972, Dennis Banks and the American Indian Movement organized a caravan to Washington, D.C., and many indigenous organizations and leaders and peoples gathered from the north and south and rode into Washington to meet with Nixon and about treaty rights and a host of other things. They had 20 points of issues that they wanted to address with the Nixon administration. And when they got there, Nixon canceled the meetings. So they took over the Bureau of Indian Affairs building, went in and got all those treaties and looked at, you know, the corruption that was going on within the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And 2022 marks the 50th anniversary of the Trail of Broken Treaties. And Born on the Res is part of a campaign. It's hashtag Honor 1851 Treaty to challenge the United States Congress and Senate to honor one of the more than 500 broken treaties made with Native peoples.
Just one, just as a symbol.
Just symbolically, can you honor one?
Well, you know, now that 100 women have been elected to the House of Representatives.
That's right.
Including two Native women.
Yes.
How about that, huh?
That's pretty impressive. And, you know, it's powerful because when we did, 25 years ago, when we released Mokoche Wakan, Sacred Earth, the rockumentary special on VH1, it was a World Earth special. One of the Native leaders I had in that piece was Senator Ben Nighthorse Campbell of Colorado. And so we had a screening prior to the VH1 release of it, or premiere of the show. And we had a screening at the Senate Rotunda in Washington, D.C., that Viacom and MTV and VH1 hosted. And a group of senators that Ben organized came. And it was amazing, the response we got to that show. Because MTV networks really didn't want to show it. They didn't think that there was an audience for it. And it ended up generating the highest viewer response to anything they ever aired. And they got 160,000 new subscribers. And I was like, can I see where those subscribers came from? And it was folks in Indian country subscribing to Time Warner.
No way.
Yeah. So they got a whole Native audience, 160,000 people. Huh. You know, so it was very successful for them. And it was successful for us because we got young people to right into their leaders, you know, locally, nationally, to support the Native American Freedom of Religion Act and the protection of sacred sites.
Standing Rock was 2 years ago? Has it been 2 years now?
Standing Rock started in April of 2016 and ended a year later, March of 2017.
And of course, it didn't make a whit of difference as far as the pipeline because they pushed it through anyway, didn't they?
I think Standing Rock was an incredible stand, and it was an incredible force of spiritual resistance to environmental genocide. And I believe that for the first time in my life, and I believe Dennis Banks felt this way too, you know, tribal nations, you know, federally recognized nations, over 500 supported Standing Rock. We had the main dirt road going into the camp, Ochete Shakoi camp, had more than 500 flags flying from different Native nations. And it was the first time that you saw that much support collectively about what's happening to the environment, what's happening to Mother Earth, and what's happening to indigenous peoples with the land grabs, you know, to get the resources and in this fossil foolish era we're living in.
Well, and it also inspired millions of people around the world, including myself. I can't, you know, I didn't go, but I know people, I know and love people who did. And from a distance, it inspired a lot of us here in this valley and millions of people around the world. That might be the first time that happened.
I could have lived in my teepee at Standing Rock forever. It was a beautiful thing. It was like a decolonization. Huh. We were getting a taste of what we've heard our grandparents and great-grandparents and ancestors talk about, this way of life, this way of living in a village collectively and wow. together. And
you just gave me goosebumps.
It was an amazing experience, and there were so many native peoples from all over the world that came. The Sami came, you know, from Europe, and, you know, Aboriginal people from Australia, and, you know, Zulu and Xhosa from Africa. It was just an amazing gathering. And then we had all these friends and allies, our sisters and brothers from America and from other countries, from France, from England, you know, that showed up and were supporting us. And the camp went from about 2,500, you know, every weekend to about 15,000 by this time in 2016. It was just amazing what spirit and what people's power can do. And it's not over. It's definitely not over. They might have gotten that pipe, you know, under the Missouri River. But the efforts to silence indigenous peoples nationally or globally is not going to happen. You know, we're invisible no more. So I was very, very honored to be there and work with the leadership at Standing Rock and work with the elders of the American Indian Movement. The whole camp was full of elders from the American Indian Movement and then their children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that were all on the front lines with us. The camp, you know, I remember when we pulled up one day, Dennis looked out the window and he said, "Wow, look at all those AIM flags." And it made him feel good because AIM was birthing generations of resistance. You know, that's going to go on. It's an indomitable movement. It's global.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's obvious listening to your song that it inspired you. I mean, that gospel, that chorus of singing Ni Wachone over and over is just, it's enough to raise goosebumps.
Oh, thank you.
It's powerful stuff. And you can hear it in the song. And to see Dennis Banks at the end, he was on the beginning of it too, wasn't he?
Yeah. That's Robert Marable at the beginning singing a protection song, a shield song at the beginning.
You know, so touching. And we were talking off air beforehand. You said that was the last appearance of Dennis Banks before he passed on.
Yes. And when we were shooting at Wounded Knee, you know, I had a dream. I was coming back from Standing Rock in the winter of 2017 after they had raided our camp. And I had to come back for a little bit. But there was a big snowstorm over the Black Hills. So I went around through Montana and I ended up just pulling up to the Battle of Little Bighorn and crashing out there. And I had a dream that, you know, the real thing we needed to do was make a music picture and go shoot in these locations, these historical places that so much tragedy took place, but out of that, the spirit of the people lives, and you saw that in Standing Rock, from the San Cree massacre in Colorado to Wounded Knee 1890 and Wounded Knee 1973, to Cheyenne River, to Standing Rock, to Geronimo's prison cell, to Mankato, where the 38 were killed, were hung in the largest mass execution in U.S. history, ordered by President Lincoln. You know, we went to all these places, and we brought a crew from the Institute of American Indian Arts to film it. I brought some alumni to shoot and some students to be part of the crew so they can learn, you know, about this kind of thing. And the most amazing thing for me was to see those kids, those young indigenous filmmakers, you know, and how they were inspired and how they were touched by these places we were in, because they said, "We didn't learn about this in school." And I said, "Yeah, that's because you're getting his story, not history." And that's something we need to change. You know, we need to really look at the reality of what went down from 1492 to today. And we need to celebrate the resilience and courage of indigenous peoples and the contributions indigenous peoples have made to the United States of America and to our own native nations. And the work that's going on now at the United Nations with indigenous peoples all over the world, there's more than 375 million indigenous peoples that have survived colonization. has survived, you know, the hunger and thirst of extractive industry to suck every last drop of resources out of Mother Earth. And, you know, we have to stand up collectively with all of our sisters and brothers of all colors and protect Mother Earth and protect the future generations from environmental genocide.
Well said, sir. Thank you for your efforts in that regard. Hey, you have your guitar with you. I would love to hear a song or two. Can you play something for us?
Yes, I can, and we'll see how this goes. It's a little early for me, but I'll play a song off the 25th anniversary from the original EP. It's called Heartbeat. As the purple sunset fades, are we really here alone? On the main street of the world, relocated from our home. And all that's real seems so far away. Sacrificing tomorrow for yesterday. There's a heartbeat louder than thunder. Revolution is in the air. There's a heartbeat deep inside our mother. Are you too cool to kill? You once so clever, never speak too soon. You, one who knows better, to be sliding in and out of the room. When your friend's close, your enemy's closer. Ah, be careful not to force her. There's a heartbeat louder than thunder. Revolution is in the air. There's a heartbeat deep inside our mother. Are you? Far too long, in this socialist, communist democracy, can't be right when it's all wrong, and the spirit they could never really see. Can't take away from me.
there's a heartbeat louder than thunder. Revolution is in the air. There's a heartbeat deep inside our mother. Are you too cool to care? There's a heartbeat louder than thunder. Heartbeat coming up from deep down under. There's a heartbeat deep inside our mother. Heartbeat. There's a heartbeat. Heartbeat.
That's Robbie Romero live here in the studios of KDNK performing Heartbeat. Thank you, Robbie.
You're welcome.
I want to take just a little bit of a break here. We'll be right back with Robbie Romero live in the studios here at KDNK.
I realized my recording is running out, so I want to make sure I get it all on CD here. So.
Okay.
So I have to do a little instrumental break there.
Okay.
Machita boy,
and we have a new... It's called Heartbeat Lakai in Apache. That's Heartbeat 2. That's on the 25th anniversary. But I added some singers from Australia, some Aboriginal singers, a Papa and a Maori singer and my daughter. And then we had Al Cooper do the keyboards. Al says to me, "I'm glad you called, Robbie. You know, I don't get many calls these days since like a Rolling Stone." I said, "Shit." Said, "You've been producing hits and writing hit songs for decades." He goes, "Yeah, but..." Oh, this is Eulali that you're playing right now. I took them on the road with me. I did a House of Blues tour, all the House of Blueses. And I just went out with me, acoustic bass, Paul Martinez, my bass player, and them on hand drums, singing like this to all these songs. It was so great. People were just like, at Boston, at the House of Blues in Boston, I was just like, "This is not blues." And these are girls from North America. And Perfe goes, "Not blues. Where do you think the blues came from?" Where are the origins of blues? You know, it's pretty funny. It's like Santana when he said to me, he said, "You know, everyone thinks that, you know, if I don't say it's Latin, they get upset, but actually the rhythms we're playing are Afro. And they're actually from indigenous people like Zulus and you know, Maasai. You know, these are grooves that came right out from them. And, you know, they went to Cuba, and then, you know, they went to Harlem, Spanish Harlem, and then, you know, I got a hold of them. I came from Tijuana." He goes, "But if I say that to Latin people, they get pissed off at me. They're like, 'No, that's a Latin thing.'" I was like, "Well, yeah, but it's origin." Yeah.
Well, let's figure that out.
That is Robbie Robertson and the Red Road Ensemble with the Eulali. Isn't that what you were just saying, Robbie?
Yes, those are the Eulali.
Aren't they
wonderful
something?
Singers, yeah. Wonderful singers. I had them on the road with me. I had the pleasure of having them on the road with me. We did a House of Blues tour with hand drums and those beautiful voices you just heard, and acoustic guitar, acoustic bass, and it was wonderful.
Tell me a little bit about Native Children's Survival. That's your nonprofit. I know it's been going for quite a while now. Tell me about the work you're doing with that.
Native Children's Survival was founded in 1989 to... help me utilize music and film to present an indigenous perspective to things that were going on in Indian country and globally with indigenous peoples. We've created rockumentary specials, like I mentioned, on VH1 and MTV, public service announcements on MTV and online. And we've been doing that for a few decades now. Issues that, you know, are very close, you know, to my heart and that I've been asked to address by our elders. We did a special called America's Last Frontier, one of my favorites, where we actually toured on dog sleds up in the Arctic to draw attention to the protection of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, something that needs to be dealt with today again with this new administration. They're trying to open it up for gas and oil exploration. And, you know, it's the way of life of the Gwich'in people to live naturally and in harmony with nature and with in the sacred circle of life up there. And they depend on the caribou, which this would directly impact any oil or drilling up there in the Arctic Refuge. So we did a special about that. We did a special about America's forests with the Hidden Medicine special. And Makoto Khan was about the protection of sacred sites, like I mentioned. And we've been releasing singles. We released a single called All Our Colors. And that single was to celebrate the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples that was passed in September of 2007 by the United Nations. But it's kind of crazy, you know, that Indigenous peoples, you know, had to go to the United Nations and the High Commissioner on Human Rights to actually address the human rights violations, Mother Earth violations that plague Indian country here in North America and also Indigenous territories all over the world.
Hmm. And if you go there now, which I did yesterday, checking out your website, this Honor One Treaty, which you talked about earlier, is featured prominently on that. So that's the current effort besides your music that's happening?
Yes, the current effort is to the hashtag Honor 1851 Treaty is a campaign to challenge the United States to honor, you know, one out of more than 500 broken treaties made with Native nations. And there's a long history of why that is and how things have gotten to this point. But it began in 1776 with the forming of the United States of America. And for me, I believe that that's when the United States and its founders, when they declared their independence, the 13 colonies that were living on the East Coast, when they declared independence from Great Britain, they wrote a declaration that's probably one of the most read declarations in the world, which is the Declaration of Independence. And they make some profound statements of there about liberty and life and the pursuit of happiness. They also talk about the merciless, savage Indians. And they've promoted that concept of merciless, savage Indians. And they've promoted ideas and theories about we came over the Bering Straits or we're less than human. And that's really why in 1923, the Haudenosaunee leadership went to the League of Nations then, before it was the United Nations, to address human rights and Mother Earth violations that were happening. And in 1924, the Maori leaders went to the League of Nations to address it. It took 80 years, more than 80 years, to finally get a declaration on the rights of indigenous peoples. Now the challenge is to have nation states, members of the United Nations, implement that declaration and honor the rights of indigenous peoples and honor the rights of Mother Earth. So, you know, this campaign, hashtag Honor 1851 Treaties, is much more than the treaties. But one thing I do want to share with your listeners is that, you know, it's not an Indian thing. It's not just an indigenous thing. Protecting the rights of indigenous peoples protects your rights and protects our land and resources. And, you know, in this era of climate change denial, in this era of rolling back environmental policies and laws, United States environmental policies and laws, to, you know, pre-industrial ages is craziness. It's you know, I don't get it. So it's going to take all of us. It's going to take the indigenous peoples of the world, and it's going to take our sisters and brothers from all colors, from all nations, to stand up and say, hey man, if we want to have a future,
for our children,
for the generations to come, we have to kind of come together like Crazy Horse said. You know, Crazy Horse said that he saw a time in seven generations when all the colors of mankind will gather under the sacred tree of life, and the whole world will become one circle again. And that's what I'm praying for. And I'm hopeful that that will, in fact, take place. And when I say seven generation, I mean, we're all the seventh generation. So, you know, it's not about, you know, waiting around. It's not about the land of Mignon. It's about acting today.
You know, Robbie, looking around at things the way the way things are happening, you kind of lose hope. What do you tell people who feel hopeless?
You know, Mother Earth is an amazing spirit, and I believe, you know, she's already begun to cleanse herself. And, you know, those who understand natural law, those who understand their accountability and responsibility to the sacred circle of life, will have an easier time surviving whatever comes, you know, because I don't know how these guys at the UN are going to negotiate with a hurricane, or how they're going to negotiate with rising oceans,
yeah,
or a huge, huge iceberg just fell off last week. You know, I think it was 3 or 4 times the size of Manhattan. I mean, you know, we can survive these things, you know. And one thing I know about our people is we are resilient. And we have some skills. We've learned to survive many, many difficulties. Genocide, oppression, poverty. You know, our children are being stolen and put into boarding schools. You know, it's like Dennis Banks. I mean, here's a man who was, you know, born on Leech Lake Indian Reservation, Ojibwe Reservation, torn from the arms of his mother at 5 years old by federal forces, put into Bureau of Indian Affairs boarding schools to deculturalize him, to stop him from speaking his language, practicing his ceremonies, praying, you know, dancing, all of those things, put into, you know, an unjust federal prison system. And, you know, he ends up leading a movement that births generations of resistance. Hmm. So, you know, we have skills, and together we have people's power. We just have to honor ourselves, honor our children, honor the generations to come, and use that people's power. Use our energy, money, to do the right thing.
I wonder if, sometimes I wonder if you have to outgrow this notion of tribes. You look around at a lot of the conflicts around the world, a lot of them are tribal conflicts. Maybe we need to get past tribes.
I think the word tribe and tribal and savage and all these things I'm hearing, you know, on mainstream television now, you know, they're talking about as tribal behavior. What does that mean? I don't think they know what they're talking about when they're talking about Washington politics being tribal behavior, you know. So I think that, yeah, I think we got to get past ourselves. We have to free our minds. We have to learn to be respectful and accountable to each other. We have to take care of each other.
Simple as that.
It's as simple as that.
How about another song?
Okay.
I'd love to hear another one.
Sure. I'll do, let me see. Let me get this on here. Let's see if I can organize this properly. Wait, hold on here. I got the headphones.
If you're just joining us, we have Robbie Romero here live in the studio talking about indigenous issues and playing some great music. Robbie has a new single. It's called Born on the Rez. You heard it earlier. And I guess there's more to check out at his website, robbieromero.com.
Just give me a minute here.
Hopefully we'll get him here in our valley to perform. I know you've played Steve's guitars before, you said. That's interesting. And did you like Steve's? Do you remember that gig?
Yeah, I loved it. I actually came in, that was the first time I was at this radio station.
Ah.
Chip Cummings, him and I were producing a PSA for native wind, native energy. It was called Native Wind, and we were editing it up here, and I was up here, and he goes, let me take you down to this really cool radio station, and then I think you should go play over at Steve's Guitars. And we did it all on a weekend, and it was beautiful. The people here were wonderful.
Cool.
The gig was great. It was very intimate, and I enjoyed it.
Great. Well, I have to say that you're one of the few musicians who put the headphones on. So that tells me you're a pro. Most of them don't.
This is a song I want to, you know, dedicate to your listeners. And I wrote this song just before I went into Leavenworth Federal Penitentiary to do a concert with my brother Mitch Walking Elk for Leonard Peltier. So this goes out also to, you know, Leonard and to political prisoners everywhere.
Myself in prison of things I have not done. Teach me the secret that I might see. Fill my heart with compassion to love my enemy. Mother Earth will feed our hunger. Father Sky will love her well. Make me worthy of this vision, that no human tongue could ever tell. The winds of life blowing for direction. The sacred water flies high as any mountain. Oh, Great Spirit, keep us free. Walking beauty. as I learned to walk this sacred land. The winds of life blowing four directions. The sacred water flows to the sea. The eagle flies high as any mountain. Oh, great spirit, keep us free. Oh, great spirit, keep us free. I pray to you, great spirit, please hear me.
That's beautiful. Lots of feeling in that song, Robbie Romero.
Thank you, Luke.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, in my personal path, it's about discovering my heart and my heartedness, and that's what allows me, I think, to grow. That's my path, anyway. And when I hear a song that's very emotional like that, it gives me hope. So thank you for giving me hope.
Well, thank you, Luke. Thank you for having me, and thank you for, you know, sharing your words with me and your airtime. And it's beautiful here in Carbondale, and I've always enjoyed coming here and being here in the Rockies. And I love this radio station. It's just as cool as it was when I was here last time.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. We're doing something right. If we can get people like you to come in and play music on the air, we are doing something right. So, yeah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.